Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you oh so much for the wonderful blessings you've poured upon us this day. And please be with us now as we get into your word to understand it, to apply it in the right way. Thank you once again as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Jesus is the only way to heaven. There's a lot of false religions out there. There's a lot of other things that people get involved in, which they think is going to result in them having a glorious eternity somewhere in their religion. And some even believe that they will become gods themselves, and other strange beliefs that are out there, foreign beliefs, contrary to the Word of God. And we got to know, like he says in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Speaking to the Jews there and to the Gentiles as well, the Jews thinking that they have things all figured out and they're still waiting on the Messiah. But the Messiah has come. They have rejected him. Not all, of course, but the ones that he was dealing with right there and speaking to about the ones that were rejecting him, that they cannot truly have a relationship with the Heavenly Father until they come by way of the finished work of Jesus Christ. Then they can achieve that. Same as all of us. When we recognize and know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then we have connection with the Heavenly Father. And then we have a future in heaven and a future with the Lord for eternity on the new earth and so forth. So much to look forward to as truly born-again Christians. Like it says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other. There's no other salvation in anything else or anyone else other than Jesus Christ. It's as simple as that. They have this movement of the coexist bunch where they want to just combine all religions, and you have these politicians and celebrities and so forth standing up and saying, well, we all worship the same God. Well, we do not all worship the same God. If you do not worship and acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then you are not a truly born again Christian, and whatever or whoever you're worshiping is not the true and living God. As simple as that. Because he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is the only way to the Heavenly Father and an only way to life everlasting. Simple as that. Over in Proverbs chapter 4, we'll turn over there a few verses. As he's teaching us here over in the Old Testament about how we need to avoid those wicked. Because if you're not for Jesus Christ, you're against him. If you're not a Christian, you're an antichrist. Therefore, we need to avoid association with them. Now, we have a commission given to us. The call to go out and spread the gospel to everyone, even to the ungodly that are out there, even to the foreign religions that are out there. But don't connect up with them and become partners with them and associates with them in their antichrist, ungodly behavior. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. Excuse me. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. And the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. So we have the light of Jesus Christ available to us. When we trust in him, he gives us that light. He indwells us with that light. And then we can share that light. We can shine that light into this dark world that we are in. The world doesn't want to see that light. They don't want that light revealed. They want it to be dark, as he was mentioning there. They don't want their sins revealed. They want to stay in their ungodly behavior. They want to reject Jesus Christ because they acknowledge Jesus Christ, then they have to accept that there's going to be a judgment day, that there's going to be accountability for their sins. The only way to not be held accountable for your sins is to trust in Jesus Christ and get them washed away from you, taken away as far as the east is from the west. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 21, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. This goes back to that whole coexist thing. You cannot come together and coexist with such ungodly individuals. It isn't that we all can just come together and get along and everything be great. No, not at all. Over in Luke chapter 12, in verse 51, the words of Jesus Christ, "Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division." And he gets into some details there about how the family members will even be divided. And this is the division over who's going to recognize Jesus Christ and who's going to deny Jesus Christ. That's the kind of division. And he wants us to divide in such a way not to be connected to those ungodly people in their ungodly behaviors. The world would have you to be tolerant, to accept everything and everyone and their behavior. Like the whole LGBTQ, I mean, just XYZ, everything else that isn't stuck onto it. Actually, it's just a bunch of perverts. Simple as that. They are ungodly. They are abominable. And they want the world to accept their ungodly behavior. They know they are wrong, but they take pleasure in others that become part of their ungodly behavior. As it says over in Romans chapter 1. The same thing we're dealing with in the whole world today. And they persecute and condemn and cut you down if you're not tolerant. And if you're not accepting of their ungodly behavior, then they say you're hateful and intolerant. Well, yes, we are hateful and intolerant. We hate the sin, not the sinner. We hate the behavior. We are intolerant of the behavior. We need to be intolerant of such behavior, and we need to hate such sin, to reject it, to turn away from it, not to be linked up with it, not to accept it into our home, into our lives, into our family. No, reject it completely. Be intolerant of it, because he tells us there's going to be a division. He wants us to be divided from that, not to be connected up with them. Over in 2 Corinthians in chapter 6, we'll turn over there. He's teaching us how we should not be united with them. Now, this can apply to individual relationships, or it can apply to entire countries. As it reads in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, picking up verse 14. "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial," or the ungodly, or the devil? "Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Clearly telling us here not to be connected up, not to be unequally yoked, not to associate your life with the ungodly in such a way. That's why it's important that Christians only marry Christians. Some folks have said, "Well, I'll marry them, and in that way I can have more influence over them, and I'll change them." Don't always work that way. They wind up changing the other individual, and then they're both ungodly many times. Sometimes that does actually work out, and somebody's able to help somebody come to the Lord, but that's rare. He clearly tells us not to be unequally yoked. That's a struggle. That's a challenge. That's a rift. That's a real problem. And that applies way beyond just who you're going to marry. It applies to who you're going to be in business with. Who you're going to be associated with in a church. Who are you going to accept? Who are you not going to accept? Who are you going to be associated with as a nation? We have had so many bad outcomes of our involvement with foreign nations, with ungodly nations, with those that are antichrist, trying to help them. We go over there and try to do a work, and then we try to help them get back into their lifestyle of ungodly behavior, and it turns into a big mess, a big chaotic mess. We spend billions of dollars and thousands of lives, people mangled and disfigured because of battles over there. And it's horrible what we've done. All because we tried to be unequally yoked. You cannot have a concord or agreement or a treaty with somebody who is not godly and expect them to fulfill their side of it. They won't. You can't trust them to change unless they receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That should be our world mission, is to spread the gospel, to help others come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Then we have a connection with them. Then they become part of the family. But if we merely just go over there and we butt into their affairs and try to settle things because we have some kind of a interest in it, whether it be oil or whether it be the border or the territory that was some other idea or mission or concept that we want to achieve in that area that's got absolutely nothing to do with godly message, then that's going to fail. It has through the centuries, and it will continue to fail. Because the key thing is we need to link ourselves up with godly people, associate with them, help them in any way we possibly can. And the ungodly out there, we need to help them become godly people. That is the true mission. That is the true commission that we all have. Spread the gospel. That's what's important. That's how we become world peacemakers, is to share the peace of God, the peace that Jesus Christ can give us. You say, well, wait a minute, you just said something there about how he didn't come to have peace. In Luke chapter 12, verse 51, suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. Then wait a minute, is it going to be peace on earth or is it not going to be peace on earth? You got to do some study, you got to look at it. Well, why is this like that? Why does he say that? What kind of peace is it? The peace that he brings and gives to us are to the Christians. Peace on the entire earth is not going to occur until he has his last say at the end days. That's when there'll be peace, when evil is completely taken away. But there will not be peace until that happens. So he's letting us know and understand that, yes, he can give us individually peace. Even in the worst times and the worst conditions, he can give us peace. But this world will not see peace until he creates peace on this planet. For that 1,000 years he rules and reigns. But at the end of that, there'll be some chaos. And then that'll be destroyed. And then the new earth is when we're going to truly have world peace. Not until then. So we need to really consider what we do as individuals and as a nation when it comes to trying to have peace. The best way to have peace with another nation is to share the gospel with them, to help them know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. And then we can have a communion with them. Then we can have an association. Then we can have a true ally that we can trust. Over in Joshua chapter 24, speaking of the Exodus, and they were entering into the promised land, and there were many nations that were there, or many peoples that were there with various foreign and pagan religions. And some of the Jews were trying to link up and associate and intermarry with these, to marry into these other religions. And it was causing a problem. And in Joshua chapter 24, verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's what we all need to proclaim. Even though this world, and then this country as well, and it's on the increase in this country, that you are required to accept everything, to be tolerant of everything, that everything's okay, oh, I'm born this way, and accept it, and that's how I choose to be. Whether you like it or not, you need to love me. Well, we can love them, but not their behavior. And we need to know that we can help them through the power of Jesus Christ. Not just help them be more comfortable in their evil ways. Over in Ephesians chapter 5, he clearly gives us guidelines. Christian behavior is laid out in the Word of God over and over. And we need to abide by that. And we need to know that we can share that with others. And then we can be linked up with them. But only when they become followers as dear children. In Ephesians chapter 5 verse 1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. And hath given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. No, walk in love. We can criticize, condemn, and cut down all this ungodly behavior and the individuals that are partakers in that all day long, and that's not going to help them. We need to do it in a way that's going to help them, and that is with love, with true concern for that individual's soul. With hatred, disgust, and despise their activities and behaviors, sure. But not that individual. And that's a very careful balance between what you need to do, what you need to say, and what you need not to do and need to, not to say. Because you can push them away. You can create an enemy in someone that you are trying to help. Just because they are ungodly does not mean that we need to hate them. We should not hate them. That's the point I want to make through all this. It's easy to say, yeah, the preacher says it's evil to do this and that, and all these different various groups and so forth, that they're antichrist, to just hate them. No, not to hate them. Hate what they're messed up in. Hate what their activity is, but not them. We've got to pray for them. We need to help them. Because it says, walk in love, not in hatred. Not in the form of judgment where you're condemning someone to hell. You need to walk in the form of judgment where you are evaluating a situation. Is this godly or is this not godly? If it is ungodly, help that individual through prayer. But don't you dare be linked up with them in association with them in a way that you're now partakers in their sin. Because then you blew it. Or in a way that you're helping them continue in their sin. Then you blew it there too. Got to do it right. With meekness and fear, it says. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. That's what we have to look out for. The wrath of God coming upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Go right back to that. Don't be unequally yoked. Don't be partakers with them. But it is a terrible shame to see how many so-called Christians, how many so-called Christian churches have become partakers with the world, partakers with the sinful behaviors, partakers in acceptance of their ungodly behavior, and trying to say, well, it's because we love them. If you truly love them, you would help them get out of such ungodly behavior, not endorse it and bring it in and become partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. walk as children of light. We have an opportunity to shine the light of Jesus Christ into this dark world. The darker it gets, the more influence that light has. Because the darker a room is, the more brilliant a light is when it enters into that room. And we sure see a lot of darkness around, so that means we have more of an opportunity to shine the light of Jesus Christ into that darkness, so that those that are in that darkness can see the pathway to Jesus Christ. Verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Or reveal them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Some of the ungodly perversions that the public out there and the world out there and the governments out there would have you accept and bring into your home. It's a shame to even talk about it. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. Whatsoever doeth make manifest is light. Wherefore, he said, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. How do we understand the will of the Lord? By studying His Word and listening to the Holy Ghost, He will reveal to you His will in your life individually. He said, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. It's interesting he brings up this one here about being drunk. Drunkenness is a real problem in the world. Drunkenness, whether it be in wine or be beer or be whatever drug or chemical that you want to numb your brain and distort your acceptance of reality. Because that's the basis of it. People don't like the world they're in. They don't like themselves. They don't like reality. So they try to escape reality through drugs and alcohol. That's really what's at the basis of it. They don't like their own lives. They don't like themselves. They don't like the situation or surrounding they're in. So they want to escape reality through these drugs and alcohol. You need to accept reality. You need to accept that you're lost. You need to accept that you're a sinner. You need to accept that you're a disobedient child, whatever the situation may be. Get it taken care of. Get it washed in the blood. The Lord will give you peace. He'll let you have an opportunity to overcome that challenge of that addiction by His power, His might. Because many times you cannot do it on your own. You can truly do it if you have the power of Jesus Christ on your side. You can overcome such things. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's why we sing these songs here at church. Especially those that sometimes you pick up and they stick in your head and you go to singing them all week long. Those are great. Reemphasizing over and over your trust in the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus Christ. He is the only way to the Heavenly Father. And if you do not have Him, you are bound for an eternity in the lake of fire. And that's the only way to see it. You're either Christian or you're Antichrist. There is nothing else. You have these folks out here that claim to be agnostic, which means they don't believe in a God at all, which they're just liars. You have those out there that are antichrist that say there is no God, but then that would be agnostic, so they don't even know what they're saying anyway. Antichrist is someone who is clearly in an understanding that Jesus Christ exists, but they're contrary to Him. And you have those that are atheists that are actually anti-God or anti-Christ. So they all go into the same category as being anti-Christ, because you're either Christian or antichrist. Simple as that. Only two ways to do it. You say, well, I have a God. Well, it's a false God. If it's not Jesus Christ in the center of it, it's ungodly. It's antichrist. Simple as that. There is no other way to it. I hear have people come, oh, but they have a good moral code. So what? You don't get to heaven by your works. You get to heaven through the finished work of Jesus Christ. Just like it says over in Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." These folks out here that say, "Well, we have a very strict moral code in our religion. Well, you have to do this, you have to do that. We turn against that," just like the Taliban and the Sharia law and so forth. They are killing the homosexuals and so forth. They say, "Well, see, we have a good moral code. We're not tolerating such things." And they'll stone somebody who's an adulteress, or they're not tolerant of such things. So is that good? No, that's evil. That's not the way to do it. You got to love people. You got to bring them to the Lord, not just go kill them. Judgment of such manner and such degree is to the Lord, not to us. They are antichrist. They do not worship Jesus Christ, so they're antichrist. And they throw in this moral code, a strict moral code. Well, so what? You're not there. You're not getting there by works. Not your moral code to get you there. When you live godly, when you have a good moral code based on the Word of God, then you are showing the fruits of the Spirit. If the Holy Ghost has come into you, He's made a change in you, then you are revealing those fruits of the Spirit, which is love, joy, and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, temperance. All those things are fruits of the Spirit. But that comes because you have trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. That's the evidence that you are a believer. Not do you become a born-again Christian because you do such things. You don't clean yourself up all nice and pretty and then you come to church. But here I am, I don't do any of these sins. I'm a person without sin, therefore I can become a Christian. No, it don't work that way. You come to Jesus Christ, you're a filthy sinner. He cleans you up from the inside out. He makes the changes. As you grow as a Christian, the more clean you'll become, the more fruit you'll bear, the more pure you will be, the more holy you will be, the more righteous you will be, because you are more and more indwelt with Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost, and His covering of righteousness on you. It's not your own. When you start puffing yourself up, saying, "Yeah, I'm great because I don't do that, I don't do this," you know, those things you were just listening there, "I'm not an adulteress, and I'm not a drunk, so I must be really something great." Well, no, you're vain. The power goes to Jesus Christ. The recognition for you not sinning goes to Jesus Christ, not yourself. You start out with a little bit of faith in Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Trust in Him, and He grows you, and He becomes stronger and stronger. He gives you more faith, gives you more understanding, gives you more wisdom, and more ability to help others. And you shine that light into them dark places, and that light gets brighter and brighter, because the more you display and share what the Lord gives you, the more He gives you. And that is awesome. We can't outgive the Lord. The more we give what He gives us to others, the more He gives us on top of that. And the key thing to give is the understanding of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Share that with others out there so more can come and know Him. And know, because Jesus Christ saith, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me," the only way to heaven. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. It's powerful.